Welcome, welcome. It's Friday. It's time for the Security Token Show. All the latest, greatest happening in RWA as a tokenization. We're your hosts. I'm Herwig Konings, of course, joined by my co-host, Kyle. How are you today?
Herwig, I am great. We are a month or less, 3 weeks away from tokenize this, which is exciting stuff. We've got so much traction. It's going to be an amazing event here in Miami with some of the leading financial institutions that are pioneering the developments of digital assets. So on the heels of that, we have another great week of news.
All the biggest blockchains, all the biggest banks, all the biggest players in RWAs, they're going to be there. Go check out the lineup at summit.stm.co. There is another price increase May 1st, folks. So get your tickets now. And we're excited to see you down here in Miami. But with that, Kyle, we've got a heck of a show to go into. So let's dive right into the market movements. And as always, we're going to try to cover the biggest movements happening in the space. One that I think everybody needs to pay attention to, Kyle. I know we had to take quite a bit to understand this. I'm talking about Realty's maybe a bit under the radar announcement about their token economy that they're going to unlock basically what I call the decentralization of their real token protocol. For those who don't know, Realty, real token. And it is quite a arguably complex, but very intricate, well thought out, interesting incentive mechanism to power this protocol. And really, as they say, take a slice of this RWA movement, trillions of dollars going on chain. And if you didn't hear that right, folks, that's right. Realty is not just going to be focused on real estate. They do plan to expand to other assets and equity types. So I'm excited to see what they end up launching. But Kyle, it is a heck of a read, as you know, to really dive through this whole real token economy expansion. So I'm going to do a quick summary as best I can. You hop in and maybe correct me or give your feedback where you like.
Sure.
As we know, Real Token, Realty, they have what they're planning to do, a DAO system, essentially, to enable you to participate and manage the protocol for Real Token. And this is a big deal, seeing as they just launched their first offering for Realty itself as an equity. So we know that they're going to expand, as I just mentioned. But they're planning to do this in a decentralized fashion, which means they have to have a token to power all of this, a governance token, as they refer to. And that's what they announced, their REG token. That stands for Real Token Ecosystem Governance Token. Right. And so these REG tokens are your governance tokens to participate in this. And they're actually going to be doing an airdrop for anybody that's been participating on Realty whatsoever in the last 5 years. They've probably already done a snapshot. They plan to release out of the 500 million tokens, which is, you know, may slightly change, they say, is ultimately about 3.5% at most that will get airdropped to the people that already participated. They're going to only keep 10% for themselves, Kyle, which I think is worth noting. That's definitely on the lower end that you see with a lot of, you know, token projects like this. And they have about a 10% treasury and a 3.5% marketing allocation, which, of course, also makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of good reasons why to have that. We don't need to go into that. So what is the rest left up to? Well, it's actually a 5-year incentive mechanism to get people to hold, to get people to participate, to get people to activate and tokenize and leverage the whole Realty economy that's being built. So they got three types of NFTs now entering into the situation, okay? Bear with me. The first is what they call the citizen token, the Realty Real Token Citizen Token. And this one is basically earned for being a participant. You can actually get them from just being a member, again, being an active participant, and that allows you to essentially become a citizen, right? To join the Realty ecosystem. And that allows you to participate and actually get access to another NFT, the activity token. This one is going to power a lot more of the actual activities and incentives to make sure you actually want to, again, with the incentive of REG tokens, participate by either buying or holding or staking or all kinds of things. And then last but not least, that third token is they call it the collector token. And by design, as you might conclude already, it's designed to have you hold it, right? To collect and make sure that you're basically incentivized not to just trade these things all day, but have a reason to stay committed to these projects, perhaps provide liquidity and take advantage of other things. So these reg tokens over the next 5 years, every month they call an epoch, is going to be a distribution. And of course, the month that you earn your NFT or you mint your NFT, you don't qualify, but you'll qualify for every future reg distribution for the next, you know, remaining 5 years. There's a lot more to it. We know that they released a Soon token that can be converted at some point very soon to the reg token. That was always by design going to be the plan. And there's even something called dark matter, which is another thing that they're going to release more information on to further gamify and incentivize activity. But wow, Kyle, that is a very well thought out, full on, as DeFi and as crypto as it gets, in my opinion. They're taking advantage of everything, including the RWA token that they just issued, also, you know, has its own feature. So, Kyle, I would love to hear your take on this. You know, you're very active as well in the crypto space. So you have a very good take on this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if we zoom out slightly for 1 second, if you remember, if you're a new listener or whatever, Realty has been tokenizing tens of millions of dollars worth of real estate. And when we say tokenizing, they're not just putting these assets on chain, they are selling them successfully to their international audience. They've been very active in France. That's where most of their investor base and customer base comes from. And so this is also, they're tokenized in Switzerland, and that's where a lot of the jurisdiction for the financial assets move. So this company has been relatively centralized in this issuance process, but they've been super successful in the crowdfunding operation, in getting people to not only buy on the primary, but they've been super successful in generating a secondary market and demand for these assets, as well as lending and post-issuance services. These are things that really have not been unlocked by any other real asset tokenization company that I'm aware of. And so I think that it's interesting now, they're looking to really empower that community in a more governance style of function. So this is kind of their attempt at doing that. The thing that I like about their NFT structure is that this, from my perspective, is probably the most, let's say, legitimate or effective use case for NFTs in terms of representing someone's status or access within an individual, you know, financial economy, within a particular community. You know, it can allow you to token gate specific actions or activities. It can tie all of your track record back to one underlying token, which is represented by that NFT and has metadata across all of your transactions, all of your permissions. And then you can get these points that incentivize you to do things, which is what I think they're using the underlying fungible token for. So I do think that this is a pretty effective gamified economy that ties in well to their actual securities, to the actual real estate tokens. Again, I don't think that these tokens or these NFTs that they're launching with this new announcement, they're not securities. They don't represent underlying real assets. They are very much a communication tool and a community management tool. But because of that, I think it works very well. They certainly have a super thoughtful effort in how they're launching the project. You know, we'll see. My only concern is around how DAOs can add a lot of bureaucracy to processes where sometimes centralization is actually more efficient. So it will be interesting to see how much control the DAO actually has on tokenizing and on management of the actual financial assets. Because sometimes, you know, if there's an issue with the actual financial asset, or if there's a lawsuit, or if there's whatever, you know, it's helpful to have that centralized company to be able to step in and do X, Y, and Z to resolve those things. That's, I think, the one piece that I'm interested to see how that plays out over the next 5 to 10 years. And if this is the most efficient process, or if it's one that adds additional benefits that make up for potentially that lack of flexibility.
Oh, no, you're 100% right, Kyle, on that point, I think. And actually, Realty did make a point to say that the, you know, technology and the services that Realty, the technology company, provides are free to do, you know, under Realty's premise. We're talking about the Realty, the real token protocol being governed by this DAO. And so for sure, I think that will hopefully help in terms of, like you said, having someone be able to step in per se. But to their credit, they are truly decentralizing this. And we've seen the risk there being that you get a lot of whales and a certain concentration controlling most of the supply. And to Realty's credit, I will give them that they've done a very good job throughout these last 5 years, making sure everybody has broad access, has an opportunity to buy in usually, as opposed to, you know, even putting in caps, I believe, to prevent people from owning and becoming sort of a whale type status. So hopefully that doesn't become the case here either. I'm not certain, but I do understand that I think eventually the Dow will be in control of, you know, saying who's going to be able to build on this Realty protocol, not Realty itself. They'll be free to do what they want with their technology and services. But of course, this DAO will be a very unique model to allow people to tokenize real world assets in a truly, I think, DeFi system. So it's very cool. The REG token, look out for it. I think it could well become the biggest RWA represented utility token out there, because to what you just said, Kyle, I think they've done a really good job of figuring out how to gamify and incentivize financial mechanisms tied to real world assets. And they've already done it with their use case of real estate so well. 100 million in overall sales, 20 million in distributions, I think 12 or so million or more locked up. So amazing, amazing ecosystem.
And they just ship, man. They ship product. Like they do not wait. They have been able to drive innovation. So exciting stuff there. Major and shout out to Realty.
And tokenize this, right, Kyle? You'll see Remy and Jean-Marc. They're coming down to Miami. So make sure you get your tickets if you like what you heard.
And into our next article here, Herwig, we do have a new tokenized U.S. Treasury bill to fit the bill with respect to what we've seen over the last 18 months. This comes from PVO1. This is a new company, and they are tokenizing a $5 million note. This is in one single issuance, as far as I understand. It was issued on April 8th and redeemed a week later, with market makers B2C2, Block Tower Capital, and KeyRock being the main participants here underwriting this. PVO1 is Bermuda-based. And so we've seen a lot of treasury opportunities. This is another product coming to market. The CEO of the company, Max Boonen, came out and did say that they want to launch additional corporate bonds with real companies underlying, as opposed to just a treasury note. That's what they're going to be working on moving forward. But this is, you know, I don't know, count it, 12, 13, 14 issuers that are launching tokenized treasuries. This does seem to be a pretty legitimate use case so far in the token economy.
Yeah, their big focus is the whole overall bond market, which is, of course, enormous. And all I could glean as well, Kyle, is that they hinted at in the next coming months, a prominent crypto issuer that will be doing a bond with them. So I'm keen to figure out who exactly that issuer is. It'd be interesting to see who that is. And it's worth mentioning that Biddle, of course, getting all of its, I think, well-deserved attention as of late for this space. They're approaching 300 million. I think they're around the 297 mark. Again, you can track that easily at stm.co. But that only puts them second to Franklin Templeton's Benji, which I think is around the 380 million mark or so. So, you know, we've seen a fast growth at Biddle. Maybe they'll soon overtake, or maybe it'll continue to be a neck and neck race. We'll have to see, right? Only way to find out, stm.co, easiest way. Moving on, we actually saw another deal with Securitize. It's from a company called Homium, focused on the home equity space. We've seen a couple prominent players in this space, specifically, of course, Figure being the leader in hundreds of millions, billions in HELOCs on chain. But Homium is actually also targeting institutional investors through Securitize, but on Avalanche. And essentially what investors get is a pool of shared appreciation home loans issued, of course, on the Homium platform. And Homium, in turn, is then, of course, offering homeowners to sell a slice of their primary residence, as they say, by taking out an on-title second mortgage in the form of a shared appreciation mortgage loan. So that's the underlying structure. Then Homium pools them together, essentially a securitization that they then sell to institutions through Securitize, all tracked on Avalanche, and Avalanche putting their money where their mouth is. Their Blizzard Fund invested, as well as a Sorensen Impact Group, and they combined raised roughly a $10 million Series A. Good on Homium.
Yeah, I met with the Homium team in LA at one of the blockchain and security token summits out there by Draper Gore and Holm a few years ago. And great team, exciting company. They've been working on this for many, many years, and they are very passionate about the technology. So this is not a fluke for them to bring this product to market. Exciting to see. Major shout out to the team over there. And into number four on the day, Herwig, we do have Singaporean XDAX is hosting Oman's Muscat Precious Metals Refining Company. They're doing a tokenized gold product. So we see another tokenized commodity coming to market. They are securitizing the gold. So you can acquire gold tokens. It's issued by a trust. It's backed by the physical gold bullion. And this is a, we've seen this. I think that I was just looking at Paxos Gold. They've done hundreds of millions of dollars in market cap for their gold token. We've seen many other gold issuers. This is probably getting close to a $1 billion industry already in just tokenized gold and potentially other commodities. So Singapore, Oman, this is a great opportunity for global expansion of tokenized commodities. Exciting to see this coming to market. I think that to drive adoption of these tokenized RWAs, you need the, you know, all different parts of it. You need the securities, the investments, you need the commodities and the real assets, you need the stable coins and the transactional methods between it. And then of course the infrastructure and community in between.
Everything is gonna get tokenized. Gold is absolutely part of that picture. HSBC, another big mover in the space on this. I think you're probably well right about your statement around the $1 billion mark. It's definitely in the hundreds of millions. This is a big space, and that's very fragmented. A lot of different structures to it as well that we've seen come to market in order to get sort of exposure to gold. I don't think we're going to see this trend go anywhere, especially as we've talked so importantly about liquidity funds and how they create a base as well. A lot of liquidity funds and a lot of bigger, you know, use cases might consider gold and other things as part of their, you know, treasury. And especially when you start to tie in DeFi and you can take your gold tokens and start getting loans and other things like that, I think it's going to unlock that asset in a whole new way we have never really even seen before. So very cool stuff. Good on SDAX and the MPMT gold token. And last but not least, Kyle, I think we got to let everybody know about something that will absolutely shake up the market, which is a potential stablecoin bill. Now, we've seen this trend in the past. We've got yet another one from the very popular Senators Loomis and Gillibrand. They have been big crypto pioneers pushing a lot of legislation. And this one specifically, of course, focuses on making a framework regulation for stablecoins, number one, ensuring that it is maintaining a one-to-one reserve and prohibiting unbacked algorithmic stablecoins, at least in the United States, right? Prevents also illicit or unauthorized use of stablecoins by issuers and users, aka they're going to force these stablecoin issuers to make sure they have all the controls in place. Surprise, surprise, they probably already do. You've seen use cases where Tether and USDC and others have frozen, you know, situations because of illicit activity. So it's probably already there, but now it's going to be mandated. And last but not least, they would create federal and state regulatory regimes for stablecoin issuers that preserves the dual banking system, because this whole thing is under the guise, of course, of protecting the US dollar dominance as the number one world reserve currency in the world. Something I do support, but is this the right approach? Do we need this framework? Is this gonna potentially lessen or weaken stablecoin activity and innovation and adoption in the United States, Kyle?
You know, I think that traditionally I tend to be a, you know, smaller government overreach kind of guy, because I just see that bureaucracy often can prevent innovation. But I think that after being in this space for a decade now, I think that the thing that excites me the most out of this is creates new branches, because whatever exists today that we're using to try to regulate this stuff is not working. It's just inefficient. I do think that at this point we probably do need a new specific body that's in charge of being up to date on this stuff, that specifically focuses on the impact and implications here and is in charge of some of these things. And maybe that starts small, maybe it starts with just stable coins, but we're seeing, you know, the crypto native banks like Avanti are getting shut down by the Fed in a way that doesn't seem like it's exactly the way that those reach and oversee, you know, those restrictions were intended to be used. Then you're seeing, you know, other banks getting shut down. Then you're seeing, you know, the SEC being very non-committal on their positions. You see the CFTC fighting for those turf wars. I think at some point we are going to need a specific organization that's responsible for some of these financial innovations. So if this is the first place to start, I think it makes sense because stablecoins do seem to be a very legitimate use case because of the cost savings in sending dollars from one place to another using stablecoins. So this makes a lot of sense to me. The question will be that number two point that you mentioned, Herwig, prevents illicit and unauthorized use of stablecoins. Is that just going to be controls, like you mentioned? Is that every participant needs to KYC AML? Which, if that's the case, that's probably even more, you know, stringent of rules than we see today with traditional cash. So is this just a kind of another attempt at you know, locking down some of these things? And that certainly would make a competitive disadvantage for a US regulated stablecoin versus an international stablecoin that wouldn't have to follow those things. So it'll be fascinating to watch how these dynamics change over time.
Some might say it's even a ruse to get to the path of a CBDC here in America. I can see both camps, you know, for sure. My big take is that, you know, Terra Luna was obviously a massive disaster for the space. And I don't think anyone would ever wish to see something like that again. Some people are going to argue we should have the free financial controls to allow something like that to build up again. But I think it was so bad for the space, so negative, that I would certainly never want to see that happen again in some capacity to that size. There needs to be something to try to prevent that from getting too big and happening again.
That's right.
However, you said it, the devil is in the details. I would, for one, not be too happy about KYC requirement for stablecoins. So that is pretty absurd. That's our market movements, though. We've got a lot more news to get into with the token debrief. So let's get on with the show. Okay, now it's time to cover the rest of what happened this week. So let's get right to it, starting with Centrifuge. They announced a 15 million Series A, no small amount of cash, and it was led by ParaFi Capital and Greenfield, and the whole round was overall oversubscribed. And next, we saw HSBC lead an investment into HQLAX's Series C, alongside already existing shareholders, including BNP Paribas, BNY Mellon, Citigroup, Deutsche Börse Group, Goldman Sachs, and JP Morgan. In the release, they also mentioned that HSBC is going to be connecting to their platform naturally, both as an agent lender and as a bank borrower. So look out, folks, because it's also off the heels of HSBC launching a tokenized gold product in Hong Kong recently, as well as announcing plans to expand to other asset classes. And over in England, we saw UK Finance, a trade association for the United Kingdom banking and financial sector, announcing an expansion of its pilot of an experimental shared ledger to track financial firms' payments. And it includes partners like Barclays, Lloyds Banking Group, Citigroup, HSBC, MasterCard, Visa, among many others. And the focus around all this is tokenized deposits under the name of the Regulated Liability Network, which will use R3 and Quant under the discretion of a company called DXC, who is in charge of their system integration work. And we also saw this week Ondo Finance announcing an integration with Cosmos through Noble, bringing their products to their ecosystem, starting with Ondo's USDY product. And through Cosmos, by the way, these offerings become accessible and interoperable with over 90 different blockchains. And that's similar to what we discussed last week with Provenance also integrating into Cosmos via Noble. We also saw a new platform come to market this week. First was the Abu Dhabi-based NeoPins RWA platform, becoming a new focus of the blockchain's company, they say, for the next coming years. And we also saw the merger between tokenization platform Huma Finance and liquidity provider ARF Digital to combine into one powerhouse that does both. And the last transaction to cover in Web3 here, venture firm, Taisu Ventures, which announced an investment into CoinStreet Group's RWA arm called CS Pro. The amount is unknown, but it also sees the firm becoming a strategic advisor to CS Pro. And ending the segment is something I think worth paying attention to, a sign of further adoption and institutionalization, if you will, of tokenization, which is the IOSCO. That's the International Organization of Securities Commissions. They published an update to its working plan to include financial asset tokenization, as well as artificial intelligence. But folks, that's 238 member securities regulators from around the world that are going to be talking RWAs and tokenization. There is no stopping this movement. And that's all we got. We are done with the news. It's time now for Kyle and I to pick some winners.
And without further ado, we have the best segment in all of tokens, in all of blockchain media. It is, of course, the companies of the week. This is the segment where Herwig and I pick two companies. This is 233 episodes in a row where we pick two companies that we want to shout out for doing some amazing things in the space. They deserve a little bit of extra recognition and a ticket into our Company of the Year award at the end of the year, which is almost going to be 5 years running, provided that we make it another 8 months. So, Herwig, without further ado, please give me your winner for this April 19th.
This was a tough one, Kyle. This was a tough one. I mean, I got to give a lot of props to Realty and their incredible ecosystem that they're rolling out through their sort of DAO governance model. It is incredible. It is going to be a huge fraction based on what they've already accomplished in the space to come. But, you know, I personally tend to always stray on what's really having an impact on the week. And so I had to give it to Homium. Homium is my company of the week, Kyle, because not only did they raise a $10 million Series A, which we've seen a few other companies start to do similar. We've seen that in the past. They are also helping signal to the world that RWAs are hot. They're sexy. Let's invest in infrastructure. Still plenty of opportunity. And on top of that, they found some great partners. I'm not just saying that because Avalanche's Blizzard Fund is also an investor in us, full disclosure. But of course, we are very familiar with their ecosystem. I think this is a great partnership. Avalanche has been really pushing on the institutional side as well. And so this feels like a very institutional product because they also teamed up with Securitize, which, you know, after BlackRock, they are the belle of the ball. They're not so easy to necessarily work with so quick. So a lot of credit to Homium for getting this deal done and going live with another unique spin on HELOCs. And I think people need to get more and more familiar that the tokenization of real estate isn't just properties, putting them in LLCs and those types of deals, but that it's expanding to the mortgage asset industry, which is tens of trillions in size, to bonds and other things. So the fact that Homium is coming in on the HELOC space, I think, is also really great. Also, I'm a fan of their name. It's fun to say, Homium, you're my company of the week.
Great winner, great team, exciting developments in tokenized real estate, and a novel kind of attempt at doing it with this kind of setting aside a piece of your asset for appreciation to offset some of those fees and expenses. Makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like a rent to earn model, but in a different way. But that's similar kind of novel structure in terms of setting up these contracts. So it's exciting.
Now we've got one winner left, Kyle. Who you got?
There could only be one, Herwig, this week, and I think it's my winner, which has the largest fundraising announcement of the week. That is Centrifuge. Centrifuge has been in the game for a while with their Tin Lake protocol from years ago that we've covered on the show, and doing shipping and invoicing and all kinds of illiquid assets and accounts receivable all the way till today, where they're building lending markets and pools to drive on-chain liquidity to real-world assets. They've seen a lot of success in their work with Block Tower in the past, and now they've launched a new fundraising announcement, $15 million with Parify Capital and Greenfield leading. They had Coinbase or Circle Ventures on there, alongside Arrington Capital and some others. And they're really trying to cover the market with the technology as well as driving liquidity to the space. This is a problem that not enough companies are trying to solve, Centrifuge being the leader in the space right now.
That's a great choice, Kyle. We've been covering them for such a long time on the show now. To see them bag $15 million in a Series A, that's bigger than my company of the week with their 10. That's a very impressive number. I know they're going to put that to great work growing the adoption of RWAs with their innovative technology there. Big fan. I think that's a great choice, Kyle. And with that, that's our week. Yeah, we always want to remind you, of course, latest news, all the latest trading data, everything over at stm.co. We've got our summit just 20 days away, folks. Telling you, you're not going to want to miss this. Go check up that speaker lineup. It is incredible. We got Coinbase, we got Securitize, we got Realty, of course, we got Avalanche, we got Stellar, we got Ripple, we got Chainlink, Provenance, of course, Broadridge and Franklin Templeton and WisdomTree and so many other great Wall Street firms on top of many, many, many more. It's going to be two awesome days. And of course, I'd love to meet you in person. I know Kyle would as well. And of course, you know, if you'd like, check out our research platform, securitytokenprime.com. It's not going anywhere. It's always there. Go sign up. It's free. Tap into our community there. And Kyle's got the thumbs up. Happy tokenizing, everybody.